You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
We're up to Galatians 6 already. Can you believe it? We've done it. Galatians 6. I wonder if you've been following along in the series at home. I wonder if you've been reading the chapter each week. I hope so, because it's just it's a really good time. Like, maybe there's a scripture that stood out to you. Maybe there's something that, you know, has jumped up in lights. It has for me. Have you had a word from God pressed onto your heart in the last few weeks? Did something give you peace? Is there a surety? Is there something in the word that you read that you just go, yes, I can stand on that? Are you stirred to do something? Is God saying something to you through this series? Has there been a moment where you just like, yes, I know, I need to do that. I want to act on that, God. You've given me an opportunity. So I thought this morning I'd start just by sharing a few of my highlights. I've gone through each chapter and kind of picked out the scripture that stood out to me the most. So in chapter 1, I was astounded how easy it is to get away from the gospel. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Like, I've experienced this, I know what that's like, but I'm really grateful for the reminder. I love in chapter 2 that I'm justified by faith. Know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith. Christ, and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. Chapter 3, we're all children of God. And again, through faith, we're all clothed with Jesus. This speaks to me about unity. It just jumps off the page at me and it says we're all together in Jesus Christ, united in him. Now, this next one is the one that really blows me away. We have the Spirit of God's Son living in our hearts. Because you are his child, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Our relationship with God is restored. Jesus, his Spirit in our hearts, helps us connect to God. Amazing, hey? Chapter 5, I'm free. I am free. It's freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Then do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Don't pick that sin up again. We don't have to grab it again. We're free in Jesus Christ. I came across a nice little quote that really, I think, sums up the book of Galatians. It's by Gordon Fee. It says, in this letter, the basic lines of the truth of the gospel are most clearly drawn. By our understanding of the Christian faith, our understanding of the Christian faith would not be the same without this letter. Above all else, it serves as our own charter of freedom. So Galatians, this amazing book, has been having an impact on Christians for 2,000 years, roughly. And we get to read it, we get to share in it and enjoy. We understand our freedom from what Paul's written all those years ago. So today, as promised, we're going to go into chapter 6. If I could sum it up in a couple of sentences, I think it would be love your neighbour and love God. Pretty easy. We can finish up now. I won't do that. There's a bit more to explain, a bit more to talk about, and probably a bit more to just to celebrate and be encouraged. So at the end of chapter 5... Paul's just finished explaining that it's the fruits of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what Paul is telling us. That's how our lives should be, the fruits of knowing God, the fruits of the Spirit. But then in chapter 6, it's very interesting. He changes tact again to how do we interact with each other? How do we behave together? And it's a wrestle because he's just told me that I'm meant to be full of these fruits, but then he's giving us all these warnings on our sinful behavior at the start of chapter 6. So he warns us to live by the Spirit, keep step with the Spirit. Do not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. Love your neighbor. So chapter 6 starts with this advice on how to care for one another. Talks about how we restore someone who is caught in sin. That restoration is described as resetting a dislocation or a broken bone. But it says, be gentle. Be careful, Paul warns, as you may be caught in sin yourself. How do we treat people? How do we help people that are sinning when we're all in the same boat? It might be me next week that needs the restoration, that needs my bone pop back in. But please do it gently. Look after me. Goes on to say that we should carry each other's burdens. And this is how we fulfill the law of Christ. We're to love one another. In loving, you know, we do love one another, but he also says we reap what we sow. And then it says, do not become weary of doing good. There will be a great harvest. I love this promise, you know. Let's stand on that. Let's not get weary today. There's a harvest coming, a great harvest promised by God. But then we get into chapter 6, verse 10, and this is the one I want to read to you. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So the two things that really stand out to me in this scripture is, as we have opportunity, because for me, I don't know about you, I wrestle with the doing part of our Christian life and also the grace part where I know God's doing everything. But jump over here, what can I do versus what's God doing, what do I? So it's a wrestle for me. But I love it says, as we have opportunity. So it gives me some clarity in that wrestle. You know, God's done it all. And that's what grace is. He's done it all for us. But then I go read the book of James and it's talking about love in action. And, you know, like, how does that all balance out? But I love it that I think God gives us an opportunity to do things. And that's what we've got to be on the lookout for. So we're on for those little opportunities that he wants to give us. I had one of those this week. I went to the IGA, Baker's Delight, in fact. Yeah, it's a good shop. As I was waiting in line, I could hear whistling, like some really, really nice whistling this guy was doing. Well, I didn't know it was a guy, but I was looking for him. I couldn't really see him, but he was an older gentleman. As I walked away, he was just sitting on the bench whistling. And then as I kind of walked past him, he starts singing a worship song. And I was like, I just stopped and looked at him. And I just said, that's a great song. And he said, praise Jesus. And I said, that's amazing. That's fantastic. And I walked off. And that interaction there, that opportunity there, God gave me that this week. Does that guy know I've used that experience in this message? Does he know that's helped me understand the scripture? I doubt it. But actually, he probably doesn't even know that you guys are hearing that story, that testimony this morning. But something in him made him take the opportunity to change from whistling to sing a worship song at the second that I walk past. I think God works in those ways. I think we just have to look out for them. I came away like really, really encouraged by that moment. I've definitely told a few people about it. But I don't know, it's just those small opportunities that we get. The other word that really stood out, and I hope it stands out to you, is the word family. I think that's been our message this year from Christine. I think that's the direction that she believes God is taking our church in, and that we are a church family. We're RBC, and that's us, the family of believers. Of course, we're part of a wider family of Christians throughout the world, but this is our family, and we can encourage each other. Go back to that scripture, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So, especially to you this morning. So, as we reach the end of Galatians, I hope you're ready for a large, big ending, because Paul certainly delivers that. He doesn't miss the mark. The next part is really clear, I think, in what Paul is saying and how he finishes this letter. In fact, he says in chapter 6, verse 11, he says, "See what large letters I use as I write to you in my own hands." See what large letters I use as I write to you in my own hands. I'm not sure if Paul's written this whole letter and then all of a sudden he's doing these massive letters, or maybe he's had a scribe writing for him and then he's grabbed the pen off the scribe and he's, "No, this next bit's important. I'm writing it myself." But what I have found out is that Paul actually does that in quite a few of his letters. He signs off and he claims to be the author by writing it in his own hand. And this next scripture, it's from 2 Thessalonians 3:17. It says, "I, Paul, write this in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." That's how Paul writes. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." So I was thinking about Paul, like I wonder what he looked like. Like not this kind of scribe that's been writing, but maybe his hands were really hard. He's been making tents, like trying to push needles through leather, and he's got these like strong hands, and he's grabbed this pen and he writes the word grace as big as he can, because that's what he wants us to understand. So we have this grace of salvation, this grace that Jesus has poured everything out on the cross for us. But you know, we also have the grace of our lives, the grace of our health. When we ask for healing, we get this grace, the grace of our finances, just the grace of everything that God gives us. You know, I'm sure that's what Paul is writing here, is like, understand grace, understand that everything comes from God. And he writes it in such big letters. So then Paul goes on to finish. And he wants you to know what matters most. He wants you to know when it all boils down to it, when the rubber meets the road, what is it that counts? It's not a question. It's not a question. What is it that counts? That we're a new creation. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. The law, the rules, they don't mean anything. What counts here, guys, what counts to us all is that we're new creations in Christ. I find that mind-blowing. I find it absolutely mind-blowing that we're new creations. The only time I've read about creation is in Genesis. The next time God created was through his son Jesus, when we gave our life to him, that we're new creations. Can you believe it? We're not recycled. We're not put through the washing machine and cleaned. We're actually new creations. 2 Corinthians talks about being a new creation. So let's see if we can get some more understanding there. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God was not reconciling the world to himself in Christ. That God was not reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Do you know that this morning? Does it sit on your heart? Because Paul's got to the end of this letter and he's really clear in saying what counts. What counts for us all this morning is that we're new. A new creation because of what Jesus did. God's given us a gift this morning, a gift to accept through his grace. We are brand spanking new created beings. Can I just jump back the other slide, please, Sam? Hi, Sam. The relationship with God was broken, and now it's back together. That's our message. I love the fact that it's not a message of the law, it's not a message, if you do this, I'll do that, from God. It's a message of reconciliation, and that's what we're to take out. That's what we can share with people. Reconciled to God. In 2 Corinthians, we also see our identity. God made him who has no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus has taken our sin and dealt with it. Just think for a second that you're the righteousness of God. I mean, anything from God is amazing. But another thing just to press into your heart this morning is that the righteousness of God has been given to you through his son Jesus. You won't be more right. Doesn't matter what you do this afternoon. Doesn't matter what you did yesterday. You will not be more right with God. You can't be. Jesus has already done it. It's already been given to you. The righteousness of God, the one who created the world, the one who has given us everything, looks at us and says, you are righteous. Pretty good, hey? I've really enjoyed reading the book of Galatians. I've really enjoyed going through it, getting a deeper understanding. I've enjoyed thinking about that other people in our church have been reading it. We've had some really cool conversations in our home group about Galatians, what we think about it. And it's so good that together we've been able to do that in this series. Just finish up now. There's no doubt the book of Galatians is about Jesus. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega of this book. The book of Galatians starts with the gospel and it ends with the gospel. It starts by reminding us not to stray from the gospel, the truth. Don't stray from the truth. The truth is that Jesus died for our sin. He rose from the dead and he's coming back again. Jesus is going to return. Paul then goes to finish the letter with the gospel. That's what really counts. Paul reminds us of who we truly are because of Jesus, that we're a new creation. That bookend, Jesus here, Jesus here. I know all the middle is about Jesus and our relationship with him, but Paul doesn't stray from that. I'm going to finish this morning exactly how Paul would finish his letter, exactly what he did in the book of Galatians. So if we can have the music team back up, would be great. Galatians 6:18, it says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen." I think that's a wonderful way to finish this series. Take the grace in your spirit and may it be with you.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.